We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. My beautiful mama, Eva Fleming, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
Woo, woo. I can't even woo no more. I yell so much I can't even woo, woo.
How are you doing this morning,
I'm
gorgeous?
I'm blessed. How about you?
I'm blessed and highly flavored with his favor.
Amen. That's the best kind of flavor.
Isn't it, though? If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll be able to get it posted shortly.
Amen.
Shortly. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items.
You got it.
I think I covered it all.
God's
so cool.
He is.
It's
so
amazing
cool.
How he can bring to my remembrance everything to say.
I know. It's impressive.
He's awesome. Would you pray to start us out?
Yes, I will. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to just be here this morning. And Father, we thank you that you are a timely Father. You're an on-time God, and we thank you that, God, even though we're starting late this morning, we're not late on your time schedule. God, you had something you wanted us to go later for, and we thank you for it, Father. We ask you to bring the people from the north, south, east, and west, or send this out to the north, south, east, and west, God. Father, that you would equip your body. Father, that you would train them up in your ways, God, that you would teach them, that you would enlighten us, God. We want to grow, and so today we just come with open hearts to receive, open minds to receive your word. Father, for your word is our guide, and we thank you today for it. And God, we just ask you right now to show up and show out. And Father, that you'd bring us the revelational truth that would set us free, God. And Lord, that that Father, as we move forward, I just ask that you hide me in Christ, that it be not I that speak, but Father, you come and do your works through me for your glory, your purposes. And God, we just thank you and praise you today for this wonderful day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning.
Yes.
Gift. Word of knowledge.
Woo!
Word of knowledge.
We should go in together and do something like this.
Yes.
And because at the same time, it felt right. Okay, saints, let's just get started. We're going to jump right into it. We've been at the Refuge Church doing a series on spiritual gifts, and it's been phenomenal. We've had such an amazing time. God is just teaching. I'm learning as we're going. And the last time I was here, I think we spoke on discernment of spirits. And today, we're going to focus on the word of knowledge. It is a gift for the body of Christ. And in fact, the Bible says that the gifts are helping us. So when the body is lacking in these gifts, we're actually, the body is lacking. And we don't have all that we need. And so God gave this as a gift to, actually, the Bible says, to profit all. 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says that the gifts profit the whole body. So that word profit actually means to give the advantage. So the spiritual gifts give the body of Christ the advantage. And so that means if we don't have those, we're actually at a disadvantage. So it's important that we understand the gifts, that we receive the gifts, and that we begin to walk in the gifts. And one of the things the Lord has been speaking to us about is that he said, my people know about the gifts. There's plenty of knowledge about the gifts. But the problem is that they all that knowledge is lying dormant, okay? And so the Father began to put in my heart the desire to see these gifts activated. He said, ask me. He said, you have not because you ask not. Ask me to activate these gifts. And so we begin to say, Lord, activate these gifts in our life. What does activate mean? It means to set something in motion, okay? So God said, it's almost like I know this sounds terrible, but he said, the body is fat with knowledge, but it's time that that knowledge begin to be activated. See, the food we take in is meant to begin to work in our bodies for our good. So if it just stays there, it actually accumulates into our fat cells, but it is actually supposed to break down, go through the body, do the work that to give us strength, energy, nourishment, and all of that. And so it is with the gifts of the Spirit. The knowledge has been poured in, but it's not supposed to lay there dormant. God said he's activating these gifts. By the end of this, we're going to pray, and God is, I believe because he said it, he's going to activate these gifts within us, but then go beyond that. He said, Tammy, I don't just want them activated, but I want my people to know how to use these, to have understanding, to be able to know how to use them in a practical way in everyday life and in a church setting. A lot of times we don't know how to use them. We hear all about them, but we don't know how to walk in them. And so God said that's what he's doing in this hour. And so today, as we talk about the word of knowledge, be encouraged, because God is saying he's not only going to give you knowledge about it, he's going to activate it, and then he's going to cause you, switch them out. There we go. He's going to cause you to know how to use these in a regular, everyday setting. Amen? So let's just jump in. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I shared about this the last time, but I want to share just a little bit on that. The word gifts there is not even in the original Greek language, okay? He said, I want you to understand the things about the Spirit. He said, we can be ignorant about the things of the Spirit. And he said, it's not good. He doesn't want us to be ignorant about these things. Well, when you look up that word ignorant, it means three things. The first one is that you don't have the knowledge about the things of the Spirit. And in this case, we're focusing on the spiritual gifts. He said, you don't have the knowledge on the spiritual gifts. So that leaves us ignorant. So how do we not be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts when it comes to lacking a knowledge? Well, you study. Anything that you're lacking knowledge on, you can study and grow in, right? He said, study to show yourselves approved, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we can study the word concerning spiritual gifts, and that's the antidote for being ignorant to spiritual gifts, okay? The second thing, the second meaning of that word ignorant there means that we're ignorant through disinclination. Now, I had to look that up because I didn't know what that means. It means disinclination means to, in fact, I wrote this one down because it was a little bigger and I kind of had an idea of what disinclination means, but I wasn't for sure. But it means that we can be reluctant. We can be reluctant and hesitant when it comes to the things of the Spirit, and specifically spiritual gifts. We can be reluctant, but it also means that you have no desire for gifts. He said that will leave you ignorant. It also means you refuse the gifts. See, we can refuse them. We can reject them. We can buy the lie that they're dead and gone, that they're not operating no more. But the Bible teaches that they are. And so we have to come to a place where we say, no, I'm not going to reject these, but I'm going to receive them by faith. We receive salvation by faith, so we have to receive even the spiritual gifts by faith. Anything that we operate in the kingdom of God is going to be operated through faith. Amen? So so the gifts are to be received. So how do we not be ignorant by the mindset of through disinclination? Well, we've got to view any gifts that God gives as treasures and value them. See, I value the spiritual gifts because the Father said that they were good and they were needed for the body of Christ. And so the antidote to being ignorant through disinclination is to actually receive these gifts freely, to see them as gifts and treasures from the Father. Value what he values. And so the next meaning for being ignorant concerning the things of the Spirit and spiritual gifts is to actually lack in understanding. See, understanding is that aha moment where you get something. The Lord said, you got plenty of knowledge, you've received it, but now you need to understand it. See, like a lot of times I think about when someone tells us how to change a tire. We study on it. We go, okay, I'm going to Google this and figure out how to change this tire. Well, we can have the knowledge on it, but the aha moment really comes when we put the knowledge into action, okay? So we can be ignorant of the gifts until we put them into practice. When we begin to walk them out, all of a sudden we get it and we're no longer ignorant, okay? So the Lord said he doesn't want us ignorant concerning the spiritual gifts. So let's just jump right in and see what the word says about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, look at verse 8. It says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Now, we're going to focus in on the word of knowledge today. In fact, I want to look at Romans 11:33, because when we talk about the gift of knowledge, we need to understand that we're not saying that these spiritual gifts are, when someone is knowledgeable in the earth, we go, yeah, they must have the gift of knowledge. No, there is no gift of knowledge. The Bible says it's the gift of the word of knowledge. Remember, the Bible says we know in part, we see in part, right? We prophesy in part. We have a portion. So the knowledge that we're receiving from Holy Spirit when it's a spiritual gift is it is a portion of God's knowledge. It's not the entirety of God's knowledge. It's the portion of God's knowledge needed for that situation, okay? So I want you to see Romans 11:33, because we need to understand these gifts are spiritual gifts. They are not earthly gifts, okay? It's not a gift of wisdom. It's not a gift of knowledge. It's not a gift of preaching. No, these are supernatural gifts. Listen, if they were just everyday things where someone has wisdom and someone has knowledge, then everyone in the world would have these, whether they're saved or not saved, because there are atheists who are very knowledgeable. Okay, so we cannot attribute the spiritual gifts to people who are not walking in the Spirit. Okay, they are for the people who have been saved, sanctified, set apart, baptized in the Holy Ghost. They've received the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is gifting us. And if when you study this out, the gifts are for the body. It's to edify the body of Christ. And so so this is a supernatural knowledge. It's beyond you. Okay. Let me say it like this. One of the men of God from church, he always says that God takes your natural and puts a super on it. Okay. So he's bringing something supernatural to the body to help the body. So what I want to say is this is knowledge beyond yourself. Okay. Romans 11:33 says this: "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Now, what I want you to understand there is that word unsearchable, that phrase past finding out actually means unsearchable, untraceable. Okay, it means that God's knowledge, his vast knowledge, is untraceable. You can't even trace it. You cannot follow it. It is past finding out. It's unsearchable. It means you cannot search enough and find his knowledge. Can I tell you why? Because it has to be revealed. Okay. Now I want to go on and I want to read the next verses. "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now in 1 Corinthians 2, it begins to tell us that the things of the Spirit are revealed unto us. Okay. In fact, I want to look at that real quick. 1 Corinthians 2, it says, I want to find where it is. Because I didn't have this one down, but the Spirit just reminded me this. Okay. verse 12, chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. See, this knowledge that is a word of knowledge, the Holy Ghost is teaching us, okay? This is not something man knew. This is something only God knows. Holy Ghost is teaching it to man, okay? And it is for the body, to edify the body. So he compares spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so let me say this. When we're talking about the discernment of spirits, the word of wisdom, and the word of knowledge, these are considered the revelatory gifts. Okay, why are they considered revelatory? Because they are things that have to be revealed to you. They are in God, but they have to be revealed to man. Okay, so when something is revealed, the cover is taken off. So when we get a word of knowledge, what we're actually getting is we're getting something, the knowledge from God that we have not had, but he's removed the cover and he's revealed it to us. So now we can give it to those around us or do with it what he wanted us to have it for. So when he's talking about the revealed things, listen, discernment of spirits, when we talked about that last time, it's not the gift of discernment. Sometimes we thought, well, when somebody is very discerning, we go, they got the gift of discernment. No, it's not the gift of discernment. It's the discernment of spirits, okay? So the gift of discernment of spirits is discerning what spirit is in operation. You can't know that unless Holy Spirit reveals it to you, okay? So when we break down word of knowledge, you'll understand why it has to be revealed to you, okay? So what I want you to understand is the knowledge of God cannot be found. You can seek all day. But wait a minute, we study the word and we get this knowledge. That's because it's been revealed. See, everything here was revealed. It says that men of God, the Holy Spirit came upon men of God of old and he spoke to them, and they received a revelation and wrote it down, and it's been compiled for you and I. So now we've got it, because the Bible says the things revealed are for man, right? So when he reveals something, it's been given to us. And so the word of God has been revealed and we now have it. But there are things that God wants to reveal to you today that a word of knowledge could come forth to do the work of ministry, to minister to those around you, but it has to be revealed unto you. So word of knowledge is something you're going to get that you didn't have before. Amen. It's outside of you. You can't find it unless God reveals it. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about why God gives the word of knowledge, okay? I want you to look at Numbers 14. Why would God impart a word of knowledge to someone? Let's think about what a word of knowledge is here. I've described it as knowledge that God has that you don't have, and he's revealing something. But we're going to see an example of this in Scripture, of how the word of knowledge operates, okay? But let me say this. When it comes to a word of knowledge, it is always going to be something in the past or something in the present. They are facts. Knowledge is facts, okay? They are facts in the mind of God that God knows that he's revealing unto you. And word of knowledge deals with something that's already happened or something that is happening in the present. It is past or present. And when we deal with the word of wisdom, that's going to be future. And that's going to be dealing with knowledge that God has of the future, okay? So, but today let's focus on the past. You're going to know something about someone or something you couldn't have known unless God reveals it to you, okay? So one of the things about this gift is God is revealing supernatural knowledge or information about the past or the present. It will be information that you didn't have before he revealed it to you. It's knowledge that's revealed about a person, place, thing, or circumstance. And it becomes a way for that person to know God, does know them, and cares about them. Listen, when a word of knowledge goes forth and you release it to somebody, what happens is that person, you'll watch it. If you've ever had someone release a word of knowledge to you, you'll go, oh my gosh, how did they know that? There's no way they could have known this. And so a lot of times God will use a word of knowledge to catch your attention. And let me show you why he releases it. Look at Numbers 14:22. Numbers 14:22. We know it's to edify the body, but God wants to show us something here. Numbers 14:22. If I can get there, give me just a second. Numbers 14:22 says, we're going to read through a couple verses there. It says, because all those men which have seen my glory, this is God talking. He said, all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, nor shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, you're like, what in the world? What are you trying to say here, Tammy? Did you catch what he said? He said he showed the miracles. He did these awesome, powerful things in Egypt, but the people did not hearken unto him. So what he's saying is those miracles, those signs, those wonders, the gifts of even the Spirit are used at times to cause people, it catches their attention so that they will follow God fully. And Caleb was a different spirit and he followed God fully. So when you begin to release a word of knowledge that you could not have known, it will catch a person's attention. And that person is all of a sudden going, there's no way you could have known this. How did you know this? It's to arrest their attention so that they will begin to follow God fully. Okay. So this is one of the ways God uses these gifts. And we'll see that as we go forward. God intends that his glory and miracles will cause a person to listen to his voice and follow him fully. Okay. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:2 tells us that without love, these gifts really have no value. Okay. Love has to, every gift has to flow from the source of love. So I want to get that out there right away. A lot of times gifts can be misused and we use them to glorify ourselves. Okay. Man's like, boy, look at me. I can give you a word of knowledge. And we love to pull people to the front and give them a word of knowledge because we get glorified and we become somebody in everybody's eyes. But that is not God's heart. God said when it operates that way, it's actually a clanging cymbal. It actually is grating on the ears and it's not pleasing to God. See, what I want you to understand is when you're releasing a word of knowledge to somebody, but it did not come from love, what happens is even in God's ears, it's grating on his ears. That's what he said. He doesn't like it. It's not right. So we have to really ask God to come and cause us to flow out of love, okay? The gifts flow out of love. 1 Corinthians 13:2, I said that, but I'm going to go ahead and read it real quick. 1 Corinthians 13:2 says this, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. See, I'm nothing in God's eyes if I don't operate from love. Love is the source of everything, which everything flows out of. So God is love. So everything that I'm doing, whether it be gifts or works or whatever, it has to flow out of love to be in proper order, okay? So God wants us to grab a hold of that. So you know what? I'm constantly saying, God, I want to flow out of love. God, cause me to want to edify the body and not edify myself through this. God, cause me to just, every time I'm ministering to someone, to just have the heart, your heart for this person. And just ask God. He'll begin to change that in you, okay? It's only God that can do that anyway, right? It's God who changes our heart. So I want you to look at Acts chapter 9 because I want us to see an example of this gift. And then we're going to probably take a break to pray and then really jump back in and break down a little more of this gift. Acts chapter 9, I think I said 9, Acts 9, 10, and 12. We're going to see this gift in action, okay? Acts 9, 10, and 12 says this, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and he said to him, The Lord in a vision, the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying. And he's seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered the Lord. He answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he's done to the saints at Jerusalem. And he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. And he began to do what God called him to do. So what I want you to see here is that this is the story of Paul when he was still Saul. And he was on his way to Damascus. He was going to go destroy, he was going to actually take the Christians and put him in jail, and he was very passionate about this, and he was on his way, and we know that he was struck down, that the Lord, a blinding light came, and he fell down, and he began to cry out, Lord, and he recognized that it was Jesus. And Jesus begins to tell him, listen, you're called for my purposes, and in that moment, he's blind. He's actually sent on blind. He can't see. Well, when he gets to Jerusalem, I think it said it was, he gets to Jerusalem, he sees a vision, okay? Paul sees a vision here. He sees a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him so that he could receive his vision again, okay? So he sees this, and he's experiencing some things. Well, at the same time, Ananias, who it doesn't say anything that other than he's a common man of God. Okay, can I tell you, this is not just for the fivefold. This is not just for your pastor. This is not just for the prophets. It is for the entire body. It is a spiritual gift that is to operate in the body of Christ. And so here is Ananias, and he's praying, and he sees. He has an encounter with the Lord, and the Lord begins to speak to him, and he begins to hear that there is a man named Saul who needs. God wants Ananias to go and minister to. Okay, so we know right there. He says in verse 11, and the Lord said to him, "Go to the street which is called Straight." Okay, this is a word of knowledge. He is being told what the man's name is. He's told what the man is doing. He's told what street the man lives on, okay? And then it goes on, and it says, inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul. He is told what house to go to, okay? They said, go ask about the house of Judas. And there's going to inquire about a man, the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus. He gets the name, guys. He gets the name, the address, the street. He gets everything. And he's told what he's doing. He's praying. And then and then that's all a word of knowledge. This is stuff that's facts. Okay. They are happening right then. They're things that he could not have known without the Holy Ghost showing him. Okay. So he receives all of that. And then it says, and he saw in a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him. He's even told what Saul has seen. Okay. And then I want you to see when it begins to say in verse 15, go your way, for Saul is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. That's a word of wisdom. Okay, that's futuristic. So we see the word of knowledge in action here, plus the word of wisdom. Okay, and so a word of knowledge, let me say this, and then we're going to take a prayer break. A word of knowledge will show you things you couldn't have known on your own. Okay, it's giving you facts that you could not have known on your own, and it's for God's purposes. Okay, and so we're going to see this a little more as we come back. And in fact, what we'll do is we'll break down how this gift operates in the everyday life and in the church. And we're going to also break down some instructions about it and signs that may help you understand that you're gifted to flow in this way. Okay? All right.